Judges chapter 6. Today we're going to talk about a man of valor. And when I use the term man, I want you to understand before we get started, this is not a men's series. This is a people series. Okay? So we're using the word man in the context of including mankind. That's ladies, men, young, old, everyone. We want to be people of valor. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Judges chapter 6 and verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock, with their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." I love that. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." We're going to stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we pray for your guidance as we look into your word. Lord, you know every heart. You know every need. We pray your will be done in everyone, in the lives of everyone present here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I've shared with you before, I'm a little bit old-fashioned, maybe because I'm old, right? That's what happens when you get older, but you know, I like heroes. Are you a hero kind of a individual? I'll go back and I'll watch the old war movies, the Sergeant Yorks and those who play men like Sergeant York and you know, I look and I think, wow, That's what we need today. Our heroes. That's what's missing. Men and women of valor. Willing to do things that no one else is willing to do. Put themselves in situations that nobody else is willing to put themselves into. Men and women who will stand and be the hero on behalf of others. That's what's going to happen in the story of the life of Gideon. But we start out with a problem in this life of Gideon. And the problem is the nation of Israel had been defeated by their disobedience. It says where we first started reading, it says that God had given them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. Man, 7 years they were an abused and oppressed people. 7 years they would come in for the purpose of destroying the land. They would bring their animals, they'd bring everybody they could find, and they would desolate the land and even the crops that Israel would try to grow in between their visits. They would come in and destroy before it could be harvested. And so it says in the text that Israel was impoverished. That word impoverished in the Hebrew means low. Have you ever been low? I mean, they were a beat down, beaten up people. And so what do you do when you're at your lowest point? I don't know about you, but I do what Israel did. And I cry out to the Lord, as it says in our text. Oh, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm beaten. I'm defeated. Lord, get me out of this. And of course, that's what happened to Israel. And they called out, they cried out for the purpose of being delivered. I mean, isn't that why we pray ultimately? Lord, get me out of this. But God took the first step before He took the step of deliverance. He sent them a prophet. And this prophet revealed God's message to them. And God's message to them, we find in verse 10, as God says, I am the Lord your God. I've said to you, do not fear the gods of the Amorites. That word fear is not used there like we use fear. That word fear means to honor and to worship. And to the problem was that Israel had abandoned God for the gods of the people in whose land they dwelt. And because of them abandoning gods, and it's called idolatry, by the way. They were worshiping idols, and because they were worshiping idols, God says, okay, let's see where this goes. And where it wound up was they were oppressed and defeated by these people, the Midianites, for 7 years. And the first thing I want to point out to you, the Midianites were not the problem. The problem was idolatry. Okay? Now I want you to hold on to that thought and consider it with this next statement I'm about to make. When God's people find themselves defeated, there's always a reason. Okay? When God's people find themselves defeated, there's always a reason. Now listen, and I'm not saying there won't be hard times. You say we're both... There is many reasons, I guess, that we could say. The reason of testing. God could allow you to go through testing. But the more I thought about that, the more I thought, well, you know, if God's testing you, He's not testing you so you'll be defeated. Right? So I'm not even sure if that's a good... The only real reason I can think for a child of God to live in defeat is because of disobedience. Sin. And you know, we see it time and time again in the world and the lives of many believers today, they take the left turn and they kind of forsake God, abandon God and chase other things, and they don't have time for the things of God, and then they get in trouble. And what's our first prayer? Our prayer is, God, please get me out of this. Please. I can't stand this. God, I'm defeated. When the most urgent need is not to get you out of it, the most urgent need is to turn you back to the God that loves you. When you think about that. You see, God allows things to happen to wake us up. Right? It says, and to make that alarm go off. We love alarms, right? Boy, set your alarm for 7, 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't you love it when it goes off? You know, when I was a younger guy, what I would have to do? I would have to set my alarm away from my bed that would force me to get out of the bed to turn it off before. Because I would lean over and I'd hit the snooze button. And not even realize I did it and wake up, you know, later on and I'm late for whatever it was I'm supposed to be. Because I didn't hear the alarm, didn't see the alarm. I want you to stop and I want to think where you are. Now I'm not here to point out your sin, if you will. I don't know, maybe I am, okay? But I want you to think about where you are for real. If you're defeated, I'm not talking about going through testing. I'm not talking about pressured. I'm talking about defeat. If you're defeated, living in defeat, there's a reason. And that reason is not because God has abandoned you. That reason is because you have abandoned God. And God has set the alarm. Things are happening. Life is falling apart. And things are not going right. And the alarm's sounding. Hey, get back to God. Get back to God. Well, you just roll over and hit the snooze button. I'm not listening. You know, I don't want to get up just right now. I want to share this with you. Please listen. A relationship with God is not... and I'm in trouble, come running, God, relationship. A relationship with God is a walk with God daily. A talk with God daily. And yes, when we get in trouble, yes, we cry out to God. When we're tested, we cry out to God. But make no mistake, when you've abandoned God, the alarm's going off. What are you going to do with the alarm? I look at people today who've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I wonder, you know, I truly believe we're living in the last days. And I know we've heard that for forever, it seems like, but man, the alarm's going off. Jesus is coming again to rapture or get His church, and we're leaving. How wonderful is that going to be? Boy, when we were singing it as well with my soul a while ago, maybe I should have shouted, I wanted to. Oh Lord, haste the day, you know, when my faith shall become sight. The clouds rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall sound. Woo! We're close. The alarm should be sounding. Are you saved? Are you saved? Come on. Second thing we want to know about being people of valor. We've got to have a daring determination. See, Gideon, and everything about Gideon, nothing about Gideon said bravery. The angel of the Lord appeared and he finds Gideon threshing wheat at the wine press. to hide from the Midianites. I mean, here he's living in defeat. He's hiding from the Midianites because every time they come, they take what he has and he doesn't have anything to eat. So now he's trying to sneak around and thresh what little bit of grain he can thresh and hopefully he'll survive, right? So he's hiding out. And an angel appears to him on the floor of the wine press there at the wine press. And you've got to love how God addresses, or the angel addresses him there in verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Now Gideon's threshing wheat. He's beating wheat off the stalks and off the stalks and all that. And the angel appears and says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." I know Gideon dropped what he was doing. And he looked around. "You got to be talking about somebody else. I'm not that. What? Me? Mighty man? Obviously you don't know me." Gideon was hiding at this point. But I want you to notice the angel said, the Lord is with, two words here, the Lord is with you. Okay? The Lord is with you. The angel did not say the Lord is with Israel as a nation. The angel did not say the Lord is with Gideon's family. He said the Lord is with you. Okay? And the reason he said the Lord is with you is because it's Gideon who's going to step out on faith and do things that nobody else is willing to do. Great spiritual movements starts with one person. I want to say that again because I want you to get this. Great spiritual movements start with one person. It's got to start somewhere, right? We pray for revival. Well, it's got to start with one person. We pray that God will send revival not only to our church, but our community, and we'll see lost souls saved. It's got to start with one person. We talk about being a witness. It's got to start with one person. And then it spreads. The problem is there's not very many people willing to let it start with them. God had chosen Gideon for the deliverance of Israel. You look back in the Bible and we see, you realize believers have a history of heroes, right? Moses. Think back at the time of Moses. God appeared to Moses and said, "Moses, you're going to deliver my people from the land of Egypt." You remember what Moses said? Moses said, "Who, me?" It's not Gideon. But God used him because it took him a little while to come around, but God, he finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do what you lead me to do." You look at men like David. Oh, you got to love that guy. He was a man's man who had a heart. He was, and David, when he faced Goliath, you remember what that looked like, right? Everybody in Israel was hiding and afraid, and every day Goliath would step out and he'd make his challenge and said, "Send me your best guy." And when he would step out, everybody would run. Except little old teenage boy David. You knew he was a teenager because a grown man would have had more sense than to go against a giant, right? No, he wasn't a teenager. He was a young man of faith. Right? And he went out there and faced Goliath. Kill that giant. Why? Because it started with him. after he killed Goliath, of course, all the troops of Israel came out and celebrated, and they're all involved now. But, you know, somebody had to go out there and get the job done. Starts with one person. Starts with one person. So at this point, we know to be a people of valor. It's got to start with you. I'll tell you what I face with what happens to me as a pastor. From time to time, people will come in and they'll say, well, this group is not doing something that they should be doing, or that group's not acting right, or teens are this, and you know. But you know what? I never have people come into my office and say, Brother Doug, I'm here to complain about me. Brother Doug, I hadn't done anything in the last 5 years. Brother Doug, I've been lazy as far as the Lord's concerned. Brother Doug, why? Because we look at other people. Right? So the challenge here is to quit looking at everybody else. It's you. It's about you. God will call you and He will deal with you directly. Right? It's so easy for me to look at you and say, well, they should do better. They should do more. They should work harder. They should be more faithful. I say, what about me? God deals with me as an individual. And if you're a child of God, He deals with you as an individual. I love it that as God looked at Gideon, He didn't look at where he was. He looked at what he was going to be when he stepped out as a man of faith. Isn't that awesome? I hear people all the time again. I hear people quite often talk about, oh, I just can't do anything. I'm not important, Brother Doug. I can't do. Listen, you're right. None of us are important. None of us can do anything. The wonderful thing is, if we'll just surrender our lives to God, He can do some amazing things. You know? But it starts with you as an individual. It starts with me as an individual. And then we've got to answer some questions. Okay? We're going to talk about three questions that need to be answered today. Question number one. If the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? You see, that's our first kind of this defense. Well, we've already dealt with the why Israel was where they were. They were there because of disobedience, idolatry, right? So that the why has been answered. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to answer this question, why am I where I am? And we're not going to blame it on the Lord, because what we've learned is most of the time I create my own problems. You know, it's kind of like the drug addict. He does it to himself. The alcoholic. He does it to himself. Only I control me. And only I can come back to God. Right? I can't control you. I can't make anybody else come to God. But I can bring myself back to God. Especially when I realize I'm here by my own doing. Second thing we want to answer. If the Lord is with us, where are all His miracles? This is Gideon's question. You know, and I get it. Gideon, he knew that God was God. And he knew that this was an angel of God. But when this angel said, God is with you, Gideon said, I don't see any evidence of it. As a matter of fact, I've heard about all the great things that God could do through my fathers and my grandfathers and the ancestors. I've heard them tell the stories of when they were in Egypt. And God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. So God turned the water into blood. Oh, that's a good story. I've heard the stories of the frogs and the locusts and all those plagues. And oh man, you could see the hand of God. I remember the story that my granddad told me, Gideon would say, of when they were sitting at the Red Sea and Egypt was coming down to take them back to Egypt. And God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he and Moses touched that water with the staff and the water parted. Gideon would have said, I've heard all that, God. I've heard how that my ancestors crossed over Jordan on dry ground because you parted that water too. I've heard it all, Lord. But God, I've not seen any of it with my own eyes. You ever been there? You ever been there? You want to know why Gideon had not been seen any of it with his own eyes? Because he nor the nation of Israel were in a position to see the mighty hand of God work. Think about it. They had turned their backs on God. They were worshiping idol gods. And God's like, I'm not going to work with you there. I remember as a young man, well, it was pretty common for people to be saved in a church service. Do you remember that? You don't see that much anymore. I wonder why. When's the last time we put ourselves in a position to see somebody saved by bringing lost people to church? No. You see, I'm a little bit, and I have to remind myself, I'm probably preaching this to myself more than I am you, but I have to remind myself, I'm serving the same God today that parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. I'm serving the same God today that brought Jesus out of the grave alive. I'm serving the same God today that healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. And we get, you know, I'm afraid that we get so tangled up in the idea of the days of miracles being past. God's still a miracle God. He just doesn't use me to do it. I don't raise people from the dead. But my God can if He wants to. Think about it. I can't part the Red Sea, but my God can if He wants to. You see, God gave those signs and wonders to His children to certify they were who they said they were. I mean, once you raise somebody from the dead, people's got to listen to you, right? But now you don't need God to certify me. You have the Word of God. You know whether I'm preaching the truth or not. However, understand this, God is still God. He can still save a lost soul. He can still take the alcoholic and restore him and his family. He can still take the broken marriage and put it back together. God is still God. And when we approach Him and live like He is God, I think we'll see His hand. I have to remind myself every time before I teach a class or before I preach. Doug, you're not the one. It's not about you. And you know, and I study and I prepare and sometimes I get caught up in, oh, it's, you know, I wished I'd have done this. I wished I'd have prepared more. But you know what I've come to realize? If you get anything out of this message, it won't be because of me. It'll be because of God. You see, we can talk all day long about where are the miracles, but we got to put ourselves in a position to see the power of God work. If we're not doing anything, we won't see that power. Okay? Once again, I challenge you, don't look at everybody else. I'm not looking at you this morning. I'm looking at me. And I ask you to do the same thing. Oh, we've got we've all got places we can improve, but I won't improve until I look at me. You know? God's still God. He can still do some awesome things. But we've got to be willing to step out. In fact, see, Gideon's going to be called. We've got to be willing to step out in faith to see the mighty hand of God. As long as you thresh your wheat on the floor of the wine press, hiding from the enemies, you're not going to see the power of God. Third question. Have I not sent you? I say that's verse 14. Go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Okay. God's very plain. Gideon, you're going to save Israel. What? Who? Me? You know, I'm weak. I'm hiding. My family is the smallest family in the tribe. And I'm the youngest in my family. Who? Me? Angel says, yes. Yes, you. I'm sending you, Gideon, to do something. To deliver Israel. And here's the closing thought. You got to ask yourself the question, has God not sent you? As I look at where I am today, before I get discouraged as a pastor, you know what I've got to say? Has God not sent you? Has God not put you where you are? Has God not given you the people? Absolutely. You know, God, forgive me for living in defeat, if you will. But I want to tell you what, I'm not the only one that's sent in this church. You're sent also. Okay? Moms and dads, you've been sent to be godly parents. Set a godly example. To raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Have you not been sent? That's where you say amen. Come on. Teachers, have you not been called to make disciples? Amen, you sure have. Those who work at your secular jobs, and that's most of you here, have you not been called to testify of the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ that can save the sinner, the worst sinner? Have you not been sent? As we prepare for this study. Now, this study is probably going to take this and two more messages, right? I want us to stop and look at what it is to be a hero, a person of valor. It starts with you willing to be a person of valor. You know, Gideon could have made a lot of excuses, and he tried. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't tell God no. Listen, my friends, you've got to quit telling God no. I hear all the time, well, I know I should, but get rid of the but. I know I should come, I know I should do, I know I should serve, but. And everybody's, get rid of the last part. I should, so I am. I should, so I am. I should, so I am. Quit telling God no. You will not see the power of God. I will not see the power of God until I stop telling God no. Okay. We start with salvation. God has called all men everywhere to repentance. That's you, right? Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. And He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's up to you. Right? This morning you've got to make a decision. I'm going to walk out of here the same way I came in, or I am going to tell Jesus yes. And I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Okay? Don't tell Jesus no. Some of you guys have been dealing with a long time and you think there's a lot of things that need to be done. A lot of things need to be done in this church and a lot of opportunities. And boy, I wish everybody would step up. Quit looking at everybody else. God's laid it on your hearts. Quit telling God no. You may be here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism because you're very shy, and I understand shyness. You say, Brother Doug, you don't understand. You get up there every Sunday and I get it, right? I do. But you need to make your salvation public by following the Lord in baptism, being identified with Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, and that's enough, right? That's all we need. Will you come? Don't tell Jesus no. Some of you, God's calling to a special ministry. And you've been telling God, no, 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 no. No, one of these days, when I get this straightened out, when I retire, when I get all this together, quit telling God no. Just say yes. And watch God do mighty things in your life. You may be here. The Lord's leading you to become a member of Victory. Come on, let's lock arms and let's serve the Lord together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to take just a moment. And I'm going to ask you right now to do business with God. If you need to be saved, it's between you and God. Right here, right now.